that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. It's been an interesting week this week, and I'm glad you joined me for the podcast, even though I'm recording it late on a Saturday night instead of on a Saturday morning like I usually do. This is the podcast for December the 16th. Yes, late, but technically still on time because it's still today, December the 16th, and that's a good thing. Even though it is late in the evening and my brain is slightly slower than usual when doing the podcast, who knows? That may be a good thing. This is podcast number 67 for those of you that are keeping score, and I know some of you do. You sit there frantically with your little pads of paper going, when's he going to say what number it is? Well, it's 67. An interesting number. Actually, a rather boring number. But it's not going to be a boring podcast. Even though, as I mentioned, in the temporal time-space vacuum that is my brain, there are slow forces at work dragging me down because it's so late. I actually did that with vocal effects, not with technical effects, because I'm talented. Anyway, let's get into the podcast, because that's what we're here to do. First of all, before I even do that, I need to remind you that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. If I didn't do that, then I wouldn't be acting as a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, because we're supposed to cross-promote one another's podcast as being part of the network. And I want to fulfill my obligation to do so, and of course I do it cheerfully, because being a member of the Tech Podcast Network, such as I am very proud of what the network is doing, including Adam Raymer, the secret actual identity of the not-so-secret identity that he takes on as Bawana. So, Bawana.org Radio, we have a promo from Bawana himself.
This is Bawana.org Radio. Stand by for promo. You're the announcer.
Not your ordinary tech show. Bawana.org Radio. A virtual potpourri of technology. Bawana.org Radio. It's tech news, video game reviews, open source software, and general gadgets. It's not just for Mac or Windows. Bawana talks about both.
It's an exciting, exciting week if you're an Apple fan or if you're a Microsoft Windows fan.
Check out Bawana.org Radio by going to Bawana.org. That's BWANA.org. It's Bawana.org Radio. Check it out today.
Whoa, dude, Bawana, you got it going on, man. I tell ya, you know, that reminds me, actually, of something that I have that I really like. I have lots of various TV themes. I'm clicking through. That click you hear is my mouse going click, because I'm clicking through things that that I enjoy. I have lots of TV themes recorded, some of which are rather odd, and Bawana Radio reminded me of one that I really like a lot. So I'm going to play it for you, just for the fun of it. So here we go.
George, George, George of the Jungle, strong, yes he can be.
Yes, you see, I like to play them and then sing along.
George of the Jungle lives a life that's free. Watch out for that tree. When he gets in a scrape, he makes his escape with the help of his friend, a deep, deep, deep. Then away he'll slap on his elephant ship, Longfellow and Ursula stay in step. With George, George, George of the Jungle, friend to you and me.
out for that tree. Watch out for that tree. George, George,
George of the Jungle, friend to you and me. Boom, ba, boom, boom. Yes, George of the Jungle. The poor recording is, of course, the result of recording off of television, which I did not do, but someone else did, and for that I am quite grateful. I have lots of themes recorded because I'm odd. Anyway, the point being, Bawana Radio reminded me of George of the Jungle. Did I mention it was late one Saturday night as I'm doing this podcast? I'm in a very strange, strange mood. At any rate, while I'm in the strange mood, let's talk a little bit about our geek culture of the week. You realize, of course, that we are mere days away, 9 days away from Christmas. And, of course, you realize that on my blog, I have an excellent header provided by Scott Redman, the webmaster of Guilford County, a position that I used to have. He was my sidekick, and now he has taken over from the master. I am now the master. Well, anyway, point being, Scott is the man when it comes to graphics. And you can see evidence of that on the header for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, if you go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, I would encourage you to go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And if you don't, you will be missing out on so much. It's just hard to imagine you doing so. So, I want to remind you once again of the URL. That's Universal Resource Locator for Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, indeed. Dr. Bill, which of course is the Computer Curmudgeon, is at thecomputercurmudgeon, and as the spot there that was faithfully sent to me says, .com. Yes, indeed. Did I mention I was in a weird mood? Yes, I did. Okay, anyway, my cool Santa there that Scott did for me with the shades. I tell you, the feature's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Anyway, there's that Santa, and we have a Christmassy, more or less, net culture, geek culture, thang, for you this week. By the way, thang is T-H-A-N-G. It is the southern euphemism for thing, not to be confused with the orange creature that is in Fantastic Four, who is the thing, who's actually Ben Grimm. Benjamin J. Grimm, actually. Anyway, I digress. The point is, thang is the southern expression that I am wont to use when talking about such things as our geek culture, provided by Jonathan Colton, and I want to take you directly to that strange asteroid known as Chiron Beta Prime. Strange place. I think you'll find it interesting, though.
This year has been a little crazy for the Andersons. You may recall we had some trouble last year. The robot council had us banished to an asteroid that hasn't undermined our holiday cheer. And we know it's almost Christmas by the marks we make on the wall. That's our favorite time of year. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. On every corner there's a giant metal Santa Claus who watches over us with glowing red eyes. They carry weapons and they know if you've been bad or good. Not everybody's good, but everyone tries. And the rocks outside the airlock exist. melted ammonia-scented snow. It's like a winter wonderland. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. That's all the family news that we're allowed to talk about. We really hope you'll come and visit us soon. I mean, we're literally begging you to visit us and make it quick before they...
Message redacted.
Now it's time for Christmas dinner. I think the robot sent us a pie. You know I love my soil and green. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime.
Oh yeah, Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. A very strange place to actually have to spend Christmas, but they seem to be making the best of it. So good luck to the Andersons out there on that asteroid. And that's our geek culture for the week. I encourage you to go to Jonathan Colton's website and check out some of his other very strange music. If you think that's different, you should hear some of the other stuff. I particularly like Code Monkey. It's one of my favorites. I've played that before on the podcast, and you can check that out in past productions of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. So let's go on and start into the blog for this week. This was a very light week for podcasting, for blogging for me. And the reason for that is that I've had a very interesting week. I had a server go south on me. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, again, with the southern euphemisms that we use here in the southern part of the United States of America, going south, for reasons unknown to me, mean that it's going badly. You see, it's beginning to deteriorate. It's expiring, and that's what my server was doing. I suspect it has something to do with the war between the states, which a lot of people call the Civil War. I don't find war civil. I've always wondered why a civil war... Yeah, it's an oxymoron, actually. But anyway, point being, the war between the states, the North and the South, since the North won, maybe going south, you know, they use that to actually mean something rather negative. Being born and bred here in the South, I could take exception to that, but I've grown beyond such things, and so I won't get into that. At any rate, the point is, my server went south, as they say, and I had to do a lot of things to get it back. Now, it wasn't the server that Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon was on, so you may not have even noticed anything. I don't know. There was one day when I was having some DNS issues, because that's hard to say. Let me put my teeth back in. That's good. DNS issues, you see. Because the server that did go south, as we say, happened to be the master DNS server, and so once it left the planet, never to be seen again, then my other DNS servers kind of went, what? And eventually, they kind of just went away. Not a good thing to have happen. At any rate, I rebuilt the server from scratch, ground up all the way, and then restored the data from those lovely, wonderful things that we system administrators like to call backups. Lovely, lovely things. Anyway, got all the data back, got the server going, got the DNS going, all the websites came back. Life is good. But there for a while, life was not good. My wife was going, it'll be okay, dear. It really will be okay. You know, I mean, it was like Dr. Bill was getting very depressed because of the way things were going. But once again, truth, justice, and the American way triumph once again. Speaking of which, let's get into the blog. Since I didn't have that many blog entries, I'm just kind of meandering down the road of doing the podcast. Our first blog entry after the last podcast was yet another Microsoft Word zero-day exploit. You remember last podcast we talked about a Microsoft Word zero-day exploit, and Microsoft actually, and I'm serious about this, they actually said, don't open Word documents. Now, to me, that would mean if I can't use Word to open Word documents, why? I have to use something else to open Word documents. And what else is there to open Word documents? Why, OpenOffice.org. And so I took the opportunity to recommend to all my dear friends to get rid of Microsoft Office and just go ahead and go to OpenOffice.org. Thus leaving the evil empire. So, I thought that was, you know, that was my public service for the week. And here it is yet another week, and there's yet another Microsoft Word zero-day exploit. Oh, guys, really, you gotta get your act together. This seems to have been a week for Microsoft to really be having problems, big-time problems. We'll get into that a little later as well. At any rate, next item, eWeek is a magazine that I read, and eWeek had one of its authors, Peter Coffey, wrote an article called The 25 Killer Apps of All Time. Now, I can remember back in the day, as they say, that everybody used to talk about, what's the next killer app? What's the next killer app? Killer apps, by definition, are these applications that somebody writes, starts off kind of, okay, that's interesting, but then suddenly takes the world by storm and changes everything. I mean, it just is like a paradigm shift in terms of software. And so there have been quite a few killer apps, and Peter Coffey lists 25 of them. Let's see if you think that he's right. First one in 1976 he lists is Electric Pencil. Can't say that that was one of my big ones. Back in 1976, I was using, I'd been using a VAX. So I would have been using either Emacs or perhaps, what was the one that was in, WIPS Plus. Yes. That's what I'd have been using. WIPS Plus, Word Processing System, WPS Plus, and that was actually, it was a separate product, but it was also under All-in-One, which was the electronic messaging and time management office automation system for the VAX, and I was an All-in-One system manager, so, you know, that's what I'd have been using, yep. But he's talking about PC stuff, so let's keep going. 1978, the year that I graduated from college. You see, I would have been using the VAX back in 76, but only as a college student, not, you know, as a professional at that point in time. However, in 1978, when I graduated, the big deal was WordStar. Boy, do I remember WordStar. You had to remember all those control this and alt that's and all those keystrokes. Yeah. I really wasn't into WordStar. As my PC word processor of choice at that time was Samba, I believe it was. See, I'm confusing it with Samba, the SMB network package for Unix, Linux e things, and SAMNA, the word processing system. See, I knew that didn't quite sound right, but in my state of being late at night, as the brain begins to fizzle out, and prepare for bed, then my brain just kind of flaked out on that. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah. 1979, VisiCalc. Yeah. Oh, yeah, VisiCalc. I remember that, actually. Didn't really use it. Didn't get into spreadsheets at all at that point in time. I kind of just didn't have a real reason to do that. DBase 2, 1981. Oh, yes, I remember DBase 2 very, very well. That was a big deal. There are still people today, this very day, that still program in DBase. Bless their darling hearts. Yes, I know a few personally. 1982, AutoCAD. Now, I never got into AutoCAD, but believe me, at the time, it was a hot deal. Definitely a killer app at that time. 1983, Lotus 1-2-3. That was the biggie. That was almost the definition of killer app. That was the one that took over the world. That was the one that drove PCs. People purchased PCs so they could use Lotus 1-2-3. There was a wild frenzy to get Lotus 1-2-3 on the VAX, and we actually did it with a PC emulation card that went into the VAX and ran a PC on a card and then displayed Lotus in a session that displayed on a VAX terminal in character mode. It was very bizarre, but I got that working for Sibagagi, who I was working for at the time. Yeah, I remember those days. Turbo Pascal, 1983. That was a definite huge deal. I remember that. I wasn't a programmer, but boy, it was everywhere. Let's speed things up here. 1984, MacWrite Mac Paint. Not big to me because it wasn't in the Macs at the time. 1984, Multimate. Never got into that. 1985, Excel for the Macintosh. Yeah, that was starting to make some headway. I remember that. Aldus PageMaker, 1985. Whoa, that was big where I worked. We had a lot of work to get all of this working because it was a resource hog to the max back then. Cross Network Email, 1986. Dude, I was heavy into that. Like I said, by that point, I was definitely an all-in-one system administrator, ran a VAX as system administrator, and whoa, we had a lot of stuff going with cross-network email. It was a big deal. Matter of fact, I kind of became known as the mailman back around that time because I was so heavily involved in mail networking. Boy, that seems like lifetimes ago. It was 20 years ago. That's a little scary. Anyway, 1987, Excel for Windows. Oh, yeah, it was coming along. DBase for the Mac, 1987 as well. Let's keep moving along here. 1988, Mathematica 1.0. 88 was the year that I got married, so I have no idea what Mathematica 1.0 was. I was too busy getting married, man. All right, anyway, 1989, Word for Windows. Oh, yeah, that was big. I remember that. And, of course, 1990, Windows 3.0. Wow. It was a dog. But anyway, 1990, Adobe Photoshop, also very big. I didn't get into it back then. It was much later that I got into Photoshop. 1991, Microsoft Visual Basic. Yep, it came out, and there was a big yawn from the doctor because, as I said, I'm not really a programmer. I'm a systems guy. 1994, Netscape Navigator 1.0. Whoa, now that, yes, that hit me big. Because at that time, I was still working for Sibagagi, and I was the Internet Guru. I was on the team that helped decide to make Netscape Navigator the browser of choice. You got to remember, this was before Internet Explorer hit it big. That was the next year, 1995, Internet Explorer 1.0. Whoa, a dog of a browser. But I tell you what, it really made a big splash against Netscape Navigator, and of course, eventually Netscape just basically went away. Anyway, I know you'll say, yeah, they're still out there, but believe me, they were so big back then, it's like they went away. All right. 1995, Internet Explorer, I mentioned that. 1996, Palm Hot Sync. Could care less. 2001, Mac OS X. Yes, much has happened from that grasshopper. 2001, Apple iTunes. A big yawn for me. I never really got into iTunes until I started the podcast and had to actually get into iTunes. And so that's the first time I even downloaded the thing. 2004, Mozilla Firefox 1.0. Wow. 2004. And of course, I've been a big Firefox promoter ever since. So there you go. Well, we spent a lot more time on that going down memory lane than I really intended to, but hopefully you went right along with me. And some of you that are very young and don't remember any of that are going, boy, he's an old codger. Anyway, there you go. Next item, LXP, the look and feel of Windows XP on Linux. Now, this is weird. You got to check this out. You can download this package, apply it to Linux. Let's say you download Ubuntu, and you install Ubuntu, and you get it going on your PC, and you think, boy, this is pretty good, except it looks terribly brown and yucky, and I don't like it. That's me. Anyway, you can install the LXP, the LX Project, I guess it stands for, LXP Project, and it'll look pretty much exactly like, you got it, Windows XP. That's odd, but it's kind of cool. See, I look at it and I go, you know, this is cool, but it's kind of also a little disturbing in a strange way, because to make Linux look so much like XP, it's kind of like it's sacrilege or something, and it's just kind of like, ooh, makes your skin crawl. But I can understand why you would want to do this, because there are people out there that are the mind-numbed masses of Microsoft addicts that go, we want Windows, we want Windows, and they've been trained, and so you create their Ubuntu machine, and you put this on it, and then you slide it in front of them and go, look, a start button. And they go, ooh. And they hit the start button, and it goes, ah. And then they hit Mozilla Firefox, and they go, ooh. And they're on the web, and they don't even know. They're using Linux. There you go. Check it out. A very unique project. Mm-hmm. Okay, remember I said that Microsoft had another big, huge, monster screw-up? Yes, they did. Well, you know, last time the Zune was the problem. It wasn't compatible with Windows. Kind of a little bit of a mess up there. Well, it turns out that they, you know, released Vista to the business world, and they told the business world, go to Vista. It just jump on the bandwagon, go to Vista. And of course, all the business world went, yeah, right. Not until the first service pack, dude. But when they finally do go to Vista, guess what? SQL Server, Microsoft's own ubiquitous database server, is incompatible with Vista. What? That's just so bad. Okay? Microsoft, this author who wrote this article said, the Vista flaw that could haunt Microsoft, basically says Microsoft has lost it. They don't have the mojo anymore, you see. And here's what he says. I'll quote from his article. The latest evidence that Microsoft has lost its Midas touch, well, its bid for a bigger piece of the $14 billion, that's what it'd be, $1 billion database business, a sector now ruled by Oracle and IBM. Until now, Microsoft has been doing its best to attract corporate customers. It's tied its SQL Server database management software to programs running on Windows desktops. But now, Microsoft has a problem. I might add, a product problem of their own making. Vista, its long-awaited update to the Windows operating system, can't run the current version of SQL Server. The company is working on a SQL upgrade that is compatible with Vista, called SQL Server 2005 Express Service Pack 2, but it's still in beta and can be licensed only for testing purposes. Microsoft hasn't set a release date for the new SQL program, so companies looking to install Vista, which went on sale to corporate customers November 30th, which of course is my birthday, are going to have to get their database management software somewhere else. Ooh, ouch, Microsoft, not good. Not good at all, at least not good for you. But I'll move along. Last item, Mama Likes Ubuntu. Yes, I was just talking about Ubuntu. And here's a guy who set his mom up for Ubuntu. He was having problems with her, constantly having crashes and issues with malware and spyware and so forth. And finally he just said, I'll just put Linux on her system. So here's what he says. This is a quote from his blog. Actually, my mom loves Ubuntu. He titled his article, Yo Mama Likes Ubuntu. Cute. Anyway, my mother is like most parents these days. They buy a computer at Best Buy or Walmart. They take it home, they plug it in, and they start using the web. The confuser, little Leo Laporteism there, you know, your personal confuser. Well, there you go. The computer they brought actually has Windows on it and some form of AOL. Ooh, boo. After about 8 hours of using the computer, it becomes slow, so they begin asking around for help. Usually some helpful person tells them that their computer is just too old, and so rather than fixing whatever's wrong, they just need to go buy a new computer. My mom now owns 3 laptops and 2 desktops. One I've been using for a couple of years, none of which are older than 5 years old. Dude, she's got a lot of money. Anyway, does this sound like your parents? This is great for computer manufacturers who make money off selling new computers to people. It's not so great for my mom, who's got 5 computers, are all in terrible shape, but could be working perfectly if they were set up correctly. Tired of this trend, I decided to install Ubuntu on my mom's new laptop. The only problem I had was with the network card. Both Toshiba and Radio Shack had the wrong drivers for it. Good job, guys. Once I nailed that issue down, though, Ubuntu worked perfectly. I sent the laptop home with my mom, and she's been chugging along nicely with it since. No slowdowns, no viruses, no spyware, no AOL. It works so well, I'm now installing it on her other, quote, broken computers, and I'm amazed at how they scream along, booting in no time, and just working the way they're supposed to. Salute to this guy who set up his mom on Ubuntu Linux. Yo mama likes Ubuntu. I like it. pretty cool. Well, guess what? We've run over time for today on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I should say tonight, because it's now 11 o'clock at night as I record this, and my brain is beginning to fizzle out. And so it's time once again to just kind of fade into the background as my music comes up. Oh, I think I'll head for bed now. Remember, till next week, the doctor is out of here.